Playart should do some Star Wars, guys.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 333 of WTF at TFW, taking place on a not-so-emergency, kind of laid-back, it's sort of cold outside, Saturday, November the 36th, 2014. I'm joined by Seth Buzzard.
Hey!
Yo, welcome!
This is the first day in, like, a week. It hasn't rained.
Yay!
Which is, one, it's nice to get a break from the rain, but two, like, oh, thank God it started raining again.
I was going to say, you guys had that crazy drought thing going on.
Yeah, it's been pretty bad.
That wild artisan drought you guys on the West Coast had going.
Yeah, the other day was like the first day in, I think, 2 years the water level rose at Lake Shasta. It had been steadily declining.
Man.
For quite a long time. Granted, it only went up like one one hundredth of an inch, but
it's all right, they're topping you up, you know.
Yeah, well, that was like after the first day of rain that we had been having in these parts, but it was raining pretty hard for a couple of days.
It's been chilly over here in the Big Smoke. That's your weather podcast for the week, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Weathercast.
We're gonna talk about rain and snow. In our areas only, from the last couple days. Hope you tune in. We're here to talk about some Transformers. And we got a nice little loaded topic list, and potentially even further loaded topic list if we so choose. Kicking things off, I wanted to talk about some video game Transformer stuff. Not only has Mega Drive Megatron released and gotten in the hands of some folks, in the topic list links at the bottom, I've actually linked to the feedback thread, because there's, like, Volkaisis has got his, as did Chuck CJC, and they got some pretty good feedback for the thing. Like, its head sculpt is kind of meh, and apparently the setup of its ankle joints is kind of bothersome, but everything else about it is surprisingly pretty impressive. Like, for all the faults it has, the strengths it has sound super cool. The biggest one of which being that it really shrinks down for the Genesis Mega Drive mode. Like, super shrinks down in size to about the size of a Genesis cart. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, looks like
cool.
It's maybe even slightly smaller.
Yeah, but then it's Voyager size in robot modes. That's super cool. That actually is the most intriguing thing about it to me so far. I love it when a Transformer can switch sizes. But we got two more bits of news about it. First one, you know, sort of expectedly, there's a Lucky Draw version coming out. It's going to be chrome gold. There are five. And it's going to come with a bare knuckle Streets of Rage cart. And that to me feels like the big thing for not only, you know, official variants to do, but, you know, unofficial third parties to do, is just make a whole bunch of different transforming little carts for this guy. Because that means the Streets of Rage cart, there's only going to be five of them made. And that means, if you make a sticker to put on the Sonic one he comes with, that could get pretty cool. The other bit of news is that, exclusive to the Takara Tomy Arts eStore, and I don't really know what that is, they're going to be doing a Sega Genesis version of Mega Drive Megatron, and I want to know how you get this, because I'd rather get the Genesis Megatron than the Mega Drive one, because I grew up with this exact Genesis, the long box first version Genesis. So I really want it, and I don't know how to get it. But that's kind of cool, because I understand that it seems like on the internet more people are both into and grew up with Mega Drives, but for me it was the Sega Genesis.
Well, in North America, that's what it was called.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the Mega Drive in Japan and Europe.
Yeah, and it seems like a good chunk of, like, North Americans all are kind of like, oh, I wish we had the Mega Drive. And I'm like, but it's the Genesis. That's a cooler word.
And what's the difference? They played the same games.
I know, but the Genesis logo was cooler.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's like, this is the birth of life.
Well, it was the Genesis that, I mean, Genesis was, for a time, the number one system in North America. It was never close to beating Nintendo in Japan. And I think it kind of started catching up in Europe, but I don't think it was ever number one in Europe.
Yeah. I would just like to know how I get this Sega Genesis version of the toy. That's my
Yeah, I had thing. The wider bodied version. And like they put out like the core system later.
Yeah, I never had that. That was
the smaller one. No, I had the wider bodied one with the Sega, the first version of the Sega CD that it's stacked on top of. Like yeah. You put the Genesis on top of the Sega CD.
Did you see
like
in
that was my configuration.
You see in the feedback thread that like the part that comes off to form is canon, like if you remove that, it basically is the core Genesis system.
Yeah, which is pretty neat.
Yeah.
You could do that and have it either way. And looking at those pictures, like again, no, it is larger than a cartridge, but not by much.
No. It looks like a really cool toy. It seems like this is probably like somewhere between this and the pen. I feel like this one transformation wise comes off as more impressive from what Sentinel's done with the Transformers license so far.
Yeah, the pens were silly anyway.
Yeah. The pen's a cool action figure with a goofy stick mode. And I'm not going to, you know, knock it down, but this is way like the fake mass shifting on this is pretty impressive.
Yeah. And if you're, like in the toss up between Sonic or Streets of Rage, as far as cartridges go, I would rather play Streets of Rage than Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, Streets of Rage too. I really hope that if we don't get it officially, some unofficial group just makes like just a, you know, here's 100 Genesis carts that will fit in this thing. Go. Like that'd be kind of fun. They all turn into little pistols.
Is that all the awesome games you can think of?
Yeah. Eternal Echo Champions.
Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah. Blasto or whatever. Not Blasto. What's the thing I'm thinking of? Vector Man. Vector Man was awesome. So Seth, it sounds like you think this looks pretty cool.
Yeah, well, we've talked about this several times.
Yeah, yeah. I mean on the in-hand level.
Like, yeah, I'm not as into the Megatron's robot mode. I think the SNES Prime that's coming. PlayStation Prime. Yeah.
Should have been SNES Prime.
Yeah, well, we talked about that too.
Yeah.
Like if they were doing like an equivalent system as far as time period, then yeah, it should have been SNES. But if you wanted to think of it as like what's like the breakout system from these companies, then yeah, the original PlayStation makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or makes sense in that regard. It makes more sense that they would do the original PlayStation if their motivation was like the system that was what the company made their name on in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get like a slight remold to this Megatron and, you know, make him into a Saturn or a Dreamcast or something. And you know, take him to the next gen as well.
Oh man, who wants?
Did you see?
Nobody wants a Saturn.
Did you see Sega's anniversary Saturn thing they're doing?
No.
It's a PlayStation 4 controller done up like a Saturn controller.
Why?
Because that's the only way they could sell it. It's real sad because the PlayStation's the thing that kind of, well, was it PlayStation or PS2 that murdered the Saturn? I forgot which one.
The PlayStation.
Yeah. So Sega,
came out the same day.
Whatever Sega is now, the only way they can celebrate the Sega Saturn is to make a PlayStation controller, and that seems really weird. Anyway, I wanted to talk a little Mega Drive Megatron. I'm not going to like rush to get him or anything, but I'm hoping he's kicking around for a while because I would like to get my hands on one sometime. Looks fun. Anyway, let's go into some new picture picks. Seth, Buzzard, what new pictures would you like to pick out?
Oh, I was torn.
No, I saw one thing that I know you would be looking at and a few other things that I thought you might look at.
Well, I guess I'll do the thing that you assumed I would do.
I was making judgments.
So 3A, or maybe it's 3-0. It's hard to tell apart what.
Oh, it's going up for sale on Bambaland, so I think it's supposed to be quote-unquote proper 3A.
Okay. Well, they're doing some Transformer figures.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe luckily it doesn't look like they're Ashley Wood influenced. Like the Marvel goodness. Figures they're doing.
Yeah.
Where Doctor Doom looks kind of interesting, but Iron Man looks silly.
I like the way the Doctor Doom looks now that I saw, like, once I saw he had a hood.
Yeah.
I got more into that Doctor Doom, but the Iron Man, it was like, is okay, but I'm real bummed out by some of the feedback I've heard from people who got theirs. Is apparently the rubber that was being touted as this magical substance that was going over all the elbow and knee joints literally has already started to disintegrate from, like, a day or two of posing. Because it's been, like, dried out and gummed up by all the weathering.
Yikes.
So.
See, that's one of the things that always, like, makes me worry about, like, these big, giant, super expensive collectible figures. Because, like, wasn't that a problem with one of the Batmans that they did where, like, oh, watch out, his rubber bodysuit is going to start cracking and crumbling. And the Ed 209... That was done a while back.
Yeah, that's all some
rubber disintegrate.
That's all Hot Toys. That was Hot Toys, and some of the rubber human musculature arms they were doing were also kind of shredding apart, partly from climate. I'm just hoping it's a fad that a lot of those groups have gotten over. Like, I think there's a way to do that rubber that's more survivable, but a lot of that stuff was just that they just made a thin rubber suit and just kind of left it at that. And in the case of the Ed 209, they just made, as far as I've heard, just a real crappy rubber in the first place.
Yeah.
That did not deal with climate change very well.
Yeah, but back to the Transformers. Both these figures look very accurate to the movies.
Yeah, they're all based on Dark of the Moon, just for clarity.
I'm sure they're going to be extremely expensive.
Yeah, there's a price...
3A.
Yeah, I was wrong about the price on Bumblebee that I told you in the pre-recording. Sorry, he's $390 shipped from Bambaland.
Yeah, well, that's putting them both, like, out of my price range. But, like, the quality of paintwork that 3A does is hard to beat. They do some pretty amazing work. And looking at some of this other licensed material they've been doing recently, like, some of the real steel, like... It's crazy they're still doing real steel.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of crazy that... But, well, one, because it was so long ago, too. It wasn't really that big of a movie. Like, it's not like... I don't think it's going to be making anybody's, like, classic sci-fi movie lists.
No, it just happened to have really neat toyetic robot designs. I think that's the main strength the movie had.
And they're doing an amazing job of recreating those in the... And, like, they got that RoboCop coming. They're doing, like, really, really good work if you are really that much of a fan of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these aren't going to transform. That's not their deal.
It's not the point of them at all.
Right. And they would never look this accurate if they did.
No, and I want to lay it out here because I tweeted this and I want to say it again. 3A are using the Transformers license with this style of toy about 100 times better than Hot Toys is. Because these are exactly the kind of Transformers where you could really take advantage of them not transforming. Because the movie Transformers robot modes in the movies cheat a whole lot. And so to be able to just, like, render that as 100% as you can is, to me, a huge draw. And it's way better than just making some banged-up, weird-looking G1 Optimus wearing corpse parts. It's not a waste of everyone's time like that toy is. These actually serve a purpose.
Yeah.
I was going to say that, because I've been following the Real Steel stuff they've been doing just through reviews and feedback, and that makes me think that this Bumblebee and that Optimus Prime could turn out super well. They have been having some really good ideas for the articulation, especially on, like, super mechanical robot designs like these with tons of greebly bits everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's to their benefit that it's just the Hong Kong branch of 3A and not the also Ashley Wood branch, because who knows what they would have looked like.
And one of the prototypes would have ended up, like, under a couch pillow in his sofa for a few years. And, so there's a lineup here. This must be where people got the Megatron names. Apparently Bumblebee is this month. Optimus is next month, and then February is going to be Megatron and Starscream. That's the first I've heard of Starscream. Apparently, they're all going to be in scale with each other, which means that Bumblebee's going to be the smallest one. And if they're all based on Dark of the Moon, I think I might try to save up some money for the Megatron, because Dark of the Moon Megatron was like one of the best things to come out of the live-action movies.
Yeah, if I was going to get any of them, it would probably be the Megatron. That's, you know, that's just saying sight unseen. Like,
yeah,
we haven't seen it at all, so we don't know what it's going to look like. But if they're doing the cloak and the hood, that's one of the, if not the coolest movie design they've ever done, in my opinion.
I can't imagine 3A or 3-0 not doing that. Like, they seem to jump at the chance to mix soft goods in with robots if they can.
Yeah. Well, they usually do a pretty good job with soft goods, so.
Yeah, yeah. I would love
to
see...
Stick to your wheelhouse.
I'd love to see their take on that Starscream, too. Like, just a nice figure of digitigrade legs, you know, bird Starscream.
And that's probably going to be the largest of the set, I would think.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I don't see myself like going out of my way to get all four of them, but I would love to pick up the Megatron if everything goes right with it. Like, that's just a toy made for 3A, because that's beat up, grimy, half his head blown off Megatron in a cloak with a shotgun. Easy Bambaland exclusive. Give him Igor, you know, the little dancing head with limbs thing.
Oh yeah. That'd be weird.
Yeah.
Why not?
Put an LED in that, put an LED in Megatron's head. And, like, they, you know, that's going to be there. They're putting LEDs into Bumblebee's eyes and headlights. His Bambaland exclusive thing is the control pillar, which has its own LED. I don't think anyone really cares about the control pillar, so I don't see any but the most hardcore, like, jumping at the Bambaland thing, unless they've got the associates discount.
Yeah.
But this is killing me, because if Megatron is going to be up for pre-order in February, that would make an associate discount worth going for next month.
Oh, yeah, because that is right around the corner.
Yeah. Nah, yeah.
Nah, something to think about.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
Oh, man. On the bright side, like, these
and
are licensed.
If Ashley's not involved, then it might actually go up for order in February and not yeah. Like the Metal Gear.
Well, that's the upside of all this is, like, you know, the Real Steel stuff, as far as I know, didn't suffer any catastrophic delays, and it's all, like, it's licensed, but Ashley Wood has not decided to, like, you know, redesign everything himself, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not trying to sound like I'm trashing Ashley Wood. Like, I like his original design stuff, like World War Robots and Adventure Cartel and all that. Mm. I just don't like what he does when he reinterprets somebody else's material. Like
the Zaku, he's example.
Yeah. Yeah, that was...
I don't really like his current direction right now in general, mostly because the impression I've got is that he's basically saying portable scales for kids and I don't care about it anymore. I'm doing 1/6 scale and 3A Megos. Because somehow Mego style 8-inch toys is cooler than 6-inch toys.
Yeah, switching to 8-inch, it just... Well, he's saving me money. Because,
yeah.
One, I can't afford the 1/6 scale stuff. And I only have 1/6... all these numbers, I'm getting all twisted up. I only have one of those 1/6 scale figures. I have a drop cloth, and I'm not looking to get any more.
Yeah.
And everything else I have is the 1/12 scale, and I don't want to start over with a whole new size class. So if he's just not gonna do his stuff in 1/12 anymore, then he's doing me a favor and saving me money.
I just hope that it's not the impression I got and that there's some other reason, because if the whole thing is like, nah, I'm too cool for 1/12 now, then I can't remember where all that came up. That might have just been people like making garbage up, but I mean I noticed that all the 1/12 stuff, like, it was like there's some Adventure Cartel things coming out, but that's about it. I'm just like, The amount of attention that portable World War robots were getting for a good, like, 2-year stretch, yeah. To let all that just fall apart, I think, is a real shame. The portable Caesars and the portable Armstrongs were like the basis of something super cool, and I feel like that's being ditched for way less interesting projects.
Yeah.
But whatever, it's his project. He can.
Or it's like, oh, I can start over and reuse all these designs in a different size.
And also, the whole, like, I'm going to make Megos and it's going to be called Triego. Like, I already kind of wince watching NECA and Mattel do that because I feel like that's an artifact from the 90s, the whole, like, Mego fascination. And I don't know. It just feels really like. It makes me wince in the same way I kind of wince at the Reaction toys. Only more so, because Reaction, I think, has a more solid basis than, like, we're going to make our own Megos. Because I'm like, part of the draw of Mego, it was a very. Megos were super duper a thing of their time, and that was a huge amount of their draw. And everything.
Is that Megos?
I call them Megos ever since I was a kid.
Yeah. I think I thought they were Megos, and then I think they're actually supposed to be called Migos, which sounds silly. But
the height of that whole thing was
before a bunch of listeners start crapping all over you for saying Megos over and over again.
Nah, bring it, Megos. I love Char's Gundam. What? The height of Megos was when Toy Fair was using them to do Twisted Toy Fair Theater and Twisted Mego Theater. That was awesome. And then that's kind of ended, and everything's moved on. And I'm not trying to say that they suck. I'm just like, multiple Mego style resurgence projects just feels like old toys happening now to me.
Yeah.
Not in a cool way.
It's hipster nonsense. Kind of like the Reaction figure.
Okay. That's you can
very
that
first
one.
Reaction figures, the alien ones.
Fantastic.
That was cool because yeah. It's like, oh, we got these old molds that never happened and now they're finally happening. It's like, wow, that's crazy. And then some of the other ones are all right, but when they don't get it right, they look really wrong.
Yeah.
Like, as much as I would love the Firefly ones to be great, I think the Firefly ones don't look good.
I don't think the Back to the Future ones look good either.
But the, I don't think it, no, maybe I saw Marty, or maybe I just saw pictures, but like, the Terminator, endoskeleton, I saw at Toys R Us a couple weeks ago, and that looked kind of cool.
Like that one and the Predator are the closest they've come to hitting the spirit of those alien ones, in my opinion. But there's still something about them that feels like it's a computer trying to learn nostalgia, is what they feel like to me. It's like you know, trying to teach Data what human emotion is. It's trying to teach this artificial intelligence computer what nostalgia is, and Reaction is the result. And it feels soulless to me somehow. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the movie Transformers, who are full of soul. Everyone. Anyway, they're coming out. I think that's real interesting stuff. We'll have more on that as they hopefully release over the course of next year.
And if your pick isn't the other thing I was thinking of, I want to mention that, too. Just because I think it looks so rad.
I was going to talk.
So you do your pick. You do your pick.
Okay.
You go ahead.
All right. I'm on the wrong computer, actually. I got to come over to this one to pull it up. But my picture pick.
How many computers you got?
You know.
Are you like a hacker from a movie with like a million computers?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, I'm swiveling from keyboard to keyboard. You know, I'm getting into the systems. I'm typing really loud and fast. I wanted to talk about some of the upcoming stuff from Iron Factory that they've been revealing.
That's not it.
Okay. Well,
what's Iron Factory doing? Let's talk about Iron Factory.
Now I really want to know what yours is.
I told you before we started recording.
Forgot already.
Well, let's talk about Iron Factory, and then you'll be surprised.
All right. So Iron Factory have revealed, they've already showed some of this stuff in bits and pieces, but now that one of their first figure releases are out, which is kind of legend-scaled versions of Six Gun and Slammer for Metroplex. Not only are they out, but I've got them, and they are frigging fantastic toys. They've shared a whole bunch more pictures of some of their other legend-scale figures they're going to be releasing, all designed to work with Generations Metroplex, but they've got Windblade coming out, Perceptor, Soundwave, Laserbeak, and Ravage. Laserbeak and Ravage's alt modes are very much based on the accessory packs that come with Six Gun and Slammer, or better known as Turrets and Manacle, which is this cool little weapon pod made from two shotguns, a laser gun, two missile pods, and a shield. Laserbeak turns into another shield that can, like, blend in with those. And I just think these... And they're also doing an Ultra Magnus. I don't know if that's in the pictures I just linked to you, but I'll go and grab that link as well.
I'm clicking through. That Windblade is blowing my mind.
And it transforms as simply as a Legends toy. I think that's one of the coolest parts of it.
I know, and both modes look really good.
Yeah, like, you know...
The robot mode looks freaking amazing, and the jet mode looks better than I thought it would. I was like, oh, if this thing transforms, the jet mode's going to look silly. Because usually when you do Transformers that small, you're only going to get one good mode, or you're going to get two mediocre modes. And with how good the robot mode looks, I was like, well, the jet mode's got to be garbage, right? And it's like, no, it actually looks pretty good.
I mean, like, the jet mode, you can see her hands sticking on, you know, they're underneath the wings. But considering that it looks like she just transforms basically by folding her legs up and flipping the wings out, that's a really well-done job of, like, matching up all the masses together. And
look how poseable the robot is. It's crazy.
So I got Turrets and Manacle.
It's they did some wizard they magic.
They've been slipping. they're not just going full ball joints. They slip proper, like, knee hinges with separate thigh swivel mushroom peg connections into the legs. And the stuff they're doing on that scale, now that I've gotten one, you know, two of their figures in hand, is really exciting. Here's the Ultra Magnus. This thing is also looking amazing. So I'm really excited about what they're getting up to.
Cause they did some sort of deal with the devil. They sold their souls.
Yeah, they ate the flesh of another. Took their power, Wendigo. And also, they're playing into my current favorite trend in the unofficial side of Transformers stuff, which is
not
pocket-sized.
Oh.
Well, yeah, that too. Pocket-sized figures that don't suck. Like, it's really cool to see, like, you know, these companies taking the no-budget restriction approach to something that has that does have the restriction of it's got to, like, fit into your palm. Like, it's so generally these figures end up being approximately $20 to $25 each, which is basically a Cyberverse or a Legends figure with a blown-up budget to have way more parts count. And it's, in my opinion, super cool stuff to see realized in hand. And it's a really cool trend that some of these companies are going for, and I've said this before, it's a great response to the combiner flood of the last year and a half or 2 years of, like, every figure being $90 to $100. Now all these guys are coming up with, like, legend size really fun little playable toys that are $20 to $25 each.
Well, I love the one picture of the Ultra Magnus staying next to a can of Red Bull for scale.
Yeah,
and it's like original, like, Thailand that it originally came from?
I think so.
Like, where it's like a tiny little shot of thick syrup.
Yeah.
It's like one of those cans, so it's like, it's not going to do a North American any good for scale. we don't get those.
I'm going to talk about Turrets and Manacle more on the What We Got This Week part of the show, but suffice to say, like, I not only hope all this stuff is still happening, but I'm hoping, going by the success of Turrets and Manacle, as far as folks who actually got them, that they can, you know, really push hard and get a lot of this stuff made just as well and as fast as possible. Damn it, I want to play with some of this stuff. Really excited about it, so I wanted to highlight.
So where are these being sold through?
I got Turrets and Manacle from Big Bad. I think that Iron Factory stuff is available at all the various retailers. So Big Bad, yeah. TF Source, Capture Prey.
It's not just like they got their own, like, little weird, half sketchy website you have to order from.
Oh no, they're operating like Turrets and Manacles. Their second release, their first release was that Fall of Cybertron Grimlock belly that turned into G1 style wings.
Yeah,
and that was fine. I've got that. I actually really like that set. But the thing I wanted to see about Turrets and Manacle was, can they make a small toy with ball joints and hinges that doesn't feel like garbage, and it feels just as good as anything you find on a shelf. Like, it's durable, the joints have good tension, and that just makes me really excited about this Ultra Magnus and everything else coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So, good job, guys.
Yeah, I'm on Big Bad now. They don't have any listings besides turret's manacle and the Grimlock belly.
Yeah. Now, there's no pre-orders up for any of this stuff. As far as I saw, like, turrets and manacle went up for pre-order kind of when they were about to come out, but then they got delayed by about 2 months.
Uh-huh.
Because ideally, that was them sussing out how do we make them really good quality. But yeah, they don't seem to lay out, like, a whole ton of pre-orders in advance. But turrets and manacle, fantastic stuff, which got me to get Repro labels for Metroplex, because I finally decided that, screw it, I'm not doing his normal stickers. My plan was I'd do his normal stickers for the sake of a video, then rip them all off and get the better Repro labels, but at this point I'm just like, no, I just want a good-looking Metroplex. I'm gonna just get some Repro labels. They're in the mail. Seth, what was the other new picture pick that I can't remember anymore?
Power Glide.
Oh yeah,
and all hand Power Glide.
And you know, if you want to go by proxy, that same guy has taken photos of all the Wave 1 toys.
Yeah, but from what I've looked at so far, Power Glide has gotten me the most excited.
It's the first time I think we've got a real good look at how he works on his own.
Yeah, his gun mode for Superion is like... It's nothing. It doesn't look like nothing to me. But I think his robot mode is really, really cool.
I just want to quickly say the thing I like about his gun mode is on the back they're showing one of the limb robots holding it as a gun, which means he's a legit target master, and I think that's a cool idea. Like, it's not just Superion's gun mode, but you can also give him to anyone else.
It seems like a downgrade for Power Glide. He used to be his own man.
I know.
Now he's somebody else's target master.
He's gotten all tiny.
Insulting. I don't know if I'll get that Megatron. Ugh. The Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
I'll probably get all the aerial bots and Stunticons. But, like, I'm pretty stoked for that Power Glide. Now, there's some problems with his jet mode. Like, his wings. You see those big, like, kind of hinge pieces there, and his hands are just, like, sticking out from under the wing. But I love the robot mode. It looks so good.
Yeah, and the hands is weird to say, but if as far as problems go, at least it's a legacy problem.
Yeah.
Like, it's a Power Glide problem. Kind of, yeah, like with the Silver Ball.
Original, like, Power Glide, his hands were, like, more compact and squared off. It didn't have a giant hole drilled through him.
Yeah, so. He didn't have real hands was his thing. But, no, I thought the Power Glide looked really cool, too. I'm really stoked for these toys. Like, in the position you're in of just wanting to get, like, you know, the normal guys and not the Optimus, it's kind of nice that the first wave of Voyagers is going to be Silverbolt and Optimus. So Optimus is only really there if it's like, I gotta see how the Menasor toy works. And if you just want to wait for Motor Master, you can just leave Optimus alone. You'll still have a torso.
Yeah, I'm more capable of waiting these days than I used to be.
Yeah. I really like the part, so there's one thing about this Power Glide I really like, is that he's got this sculpting on part of his arms, which is like little missile pods, because those are part of, in the gun mode, those are facing forward. So it's like, as a gun, he's got like two thruster barrels and then two little racks of missiles.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of neat. And
the little, it's like the missile spam looking missiles.
Yeah, all Kawamori anime style. And the little flip-up scope, too. I didn't notice that until just now. That's really cool, too. Some of the pictures, there's currently some shop in China has got the first wave of these things in multiple, and there's some real funny pictures they've been taken of, like, trying to force some of the other Legends toys into combiner modes, where, like, they made an Ultra Prime, and then just folded open his chest and just stuck Wind Charger onto it, just as a big red car.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the way that Menasor's chest plate works, except it's Wind Charger. I thought that's kind of funny. I'm going to see if I can dig up that photo album for you, because it was really cool. That was like that photo album is like, we've got two or three of every Combiner Wars toy, so let's just play around. So there's like an Ultra Prime with four drag strips as his limbs, and I think it's really cool stuff. It shows like just the boiled down play pattern of it all. Here we go. I think I found it already. But I'm hoping these things are out this month. I'm getting tired of watching other people play with them. I'm getting legitimately impatient and immaturely impatient at that.
Well, now I'm looking for them on Big Bad.
Here we go, Seth. Here's the picture. It's Optimus Prime, four drag strips, and bombshell sticking out of his chest. It's kind of funny. He's holding a power glide.
This page is currently unavailable.
What? Oh. I'm going to keep trying.
Okay.
But, yeah, I want to play with these toys. I'm getting... They don't look. They don't look like.
It's not opening for me.
They don't look collector amazing in any way. They just look fun.
Uh huh.
And so I'm getting that short term impatience. I'm going to keep trying. By the way,
are you just sending me the same link over and over again?
No, those were three different links.
Okay.
This new one's a direct image link.
Okay, this one works. Yeah. The Facebook links aren't going to do anything for me apparently.
Okay.
Bombshells just jammed into his chest.
I love that you can just stuff them in there. Optimus Prime, he grabbed four Stunicons and just plugged them onto himself, and he took poor Bombshell and rammed him into his own chest. Bombshell's, like, trying to get out. It's like, help me! I'm being integrated! But yeah, Combiner Wars.
You would think I would be busting out of somebody else's chest, but I'm being absorbed.
Yeah, Combiner Wars. I'm waving my hands. I don't know what to say, because I'm just going to start talking about how they look fun.
They do look fun.
Mm-hmm.
I want some Tacons.
And so this goes even further into the bad place that I go when I'm looking at this stuff. So Robot Kingdom has them, but it's too expensive because the shipping is too expensive, right?
Uh-huh.
But if me and someone else were to get all of them and ship them at once, thus, you know, buying two of everything and sending it all in one ship, but then the prices get far closer to Canadian retail. Kind of.
If I was also a Canadian, I'd be interested in going in with you, but I think going in with you would just make it harder for both of us.
So. No, that's the way I felt when this whole idea was presented to me. I was like, that sounds great, and then I was like, no, wait a second. I'm coming up with all kinds of garbage reasons why this is a good idea.
You just gotta find another Canadian.
No, this was presented to me by someone else local.
No.
We've both been staring at the Robot Kingdom page, but we're also both like, no, this is a bad idea. I don't want to name drop, because I feel weird about name dropping someone in this situation, because that's going to add a target to the people who are going to try to force people to buy stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's my job. It's not someone else's job. But... that freaking Robot Kingdom page is a Jezebel and an Enchantress. It's just sitting there. It's like, click me. Order them. It's PayPal. You can pay 21 days later.
Why am I not finding the Combiner War guys on Big Bad?
They don't have them listed up yet.
Well, that probably explains why I'm not finding them.
I don't understand why they don't have them listed up yet.
I remember when people used to get mad at Big Bad because they would list things that were like just announced that didn't have any images.
Yeah.
Or they would list things that were kind of half rumor.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not up there unless because it's a Hasbro thing. It's like we gotta, you know, get triple checked.
Come on, info. Joel.
Yeah.
What happened to the Joel I knew that would just list anything?
Yeah. Just go for it. Anyway, that's some new picture pick stuff. We got one more topic here that I think is worth talking about, which is that on the official Transformers Facebook page, Hasbro has put up a retrospective gallery of all numbered thrilling 30 Transformers figures. So the proper thrilling 30, numbers 1 through 30, is complete. And I figured that maybe we should rattle through what the numbers are, just in case anyone out there didn't find out. There's an image to go with each one with the number and where they were... available. You can see it all on the front page post or the Facebook page. So here we go. Number one, San Diego Comic-Con Metroplex. Number yes. two, San Diego Comic-Con Transformers Prime Beast Hunters Shockwaves Laboratory. Number three, Platinum Edition Ultra Magnus. Number four, Platinum Edition Grimlock versus Bruticus. We're doing real well so far. Number five, Metroplex ACG Con Edition. Now, if you look at the pictures going between that one and the San Diego one, the only difference between them is the colors of their decoys. So at this point, five figures in, you've bought Metroplex twice. Number six, Transformers Prime Beast Hunter Shockwave's Laboratory Cybertron Con Edition. Now, the difference between this one and number two is that the little Predaking was at San Diego was gold-ish, and the one at Cybertron Con was clear and blue-ish. And I think the Shockwave had a different colored eyeball as well.
Let me flip back.
Between number two and... So number one and five and number two and six.
The pictures... Okay, so the Comic-Con one... The angle that it's posed at, it looks like the eye is the same color. It just looks different when you flip back and forth between the pictures because they're lit and posed very differently.
Huh.
Now the purples might be slightly different, but I think that could be a case of the lighting.
The legs on the Cybertron Con have a much different inner color, I think.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's like a lighter purple where the Comic-Con one has gray.
Yeah.
Yeah, so okay, so the color deco is different between the two, but I think the eye is the same.
So at no point so far are we buying literally the same toy. We've avoided that.
You're really close to buying this.
I'm saying this after the Metroplexes. You're
really close. You're very, very close.
Who out there bought both Metroplexes? Poor guy. I don't know. Anyway, number six, Transformers Prime. Sorry, is it number seven? First edition Beast Hunters Optimus Prime, which is just their big expensive Beast Hunters Optimus Prime, but in a different box. Number eight, Masterpiece Acid Storm. Number nine, Masterpiece Soundwave. Number 10, Platinum G1 Predaking. We're back on track. Number 11, Constructobots Predaking. We're kind of back off track now.
Yeah, this is the most egregious. There's nothing thrilling about Constructobots.
We're only a third of the way through the list.
I said so far it's the most egregious.
It's going to get more thrilling, trust me. Number 12. Also, bear in mind, parts of this list in the middle of this list just came out, while things at the front and back of this list came out months ago. Number 11, which is number 12, Platinum Edition Year of the Horse Optimus Prime. Number 13, Platinum Edition Year of the Horse Starscream. So Platinums get on here. Number 14, Bumblebee and Strafe versus Decepticon Stinger.
That Starscream is still jamming up shelves at Toys R Us's.
But this number 14 is a Walmart exclusive toy that just came out, which is two Legends and a Deluxe, all of which have absolutely nothing unique about them.
Right.
Number 14 of the thrilling 30 is a Walmart repack of three retail toys. Number 15, Masterpiece Sunstorm. Number 16, Protectobots Evac Squad. Number 17, Protectobots Emergency Rescue. As far as I know, those two Protectobots sets are currently not available in the United States unless I missed something.
Yeah, because when I was flipping through these before we started recording, I was like, I don't think I've ever seen these. Did I just miss them? Did I never hear anybody talk about them? But if they're not out, then that explains.
Well, number 18.
They kind of look cool, though.
Yeah. They're just, you know, it's five prime toys. Or no, three prime toys and two not prime toys. But they got cool colors.
Yeah.
Number 18, Dinobot Slog G1 colors. Still not out. Amazon exclusive. I'm hoping that's out this month. Number 19, the Crazy Knights of Unicron.
The most thrilling.
The thrillingest. I never got it clear if this was considered part of Thrilling 30, so I'm glad to have that, you know, solidified for me. Knights of Unicron set is part of the Thrilling 30. Here's the weird thing. The Dinobots San Diego, like from that same San Diego Comic-Con, right. The Dinobots set is not in the Thrilling 30, but the Amazon exclusive slog that was made to go with them is in the Thrilling 30. So that's confusing.
Yeah, and like that Comic-Con set's not, but two Comic-Con sets that were also released in other conventions are.
Don't worry. We still got some more thrilling stuff to see here. Number 20, the Platinum Edition Breakout Battle Set, also known as the Farmageddon Set, which is out now, at least in Canada. Number 21, Leader Class Jetfire.
I have one of those.
Yeah, you better get the rest of these then. Number 22.
It might be the only one that I do have so far.
Bumblebee Evolution 2-Pack. This is a 2-pack of two very cool toys. Unfortunately, I got these two toys separately, so I don't need this 2-pack.
Well, I think the colors on the smaller Bumblebee, the Generations Bumblebee, I think were probably better.
It looks
kind of like weirdly lemon.
These Pretenders colors in this one.
Yeah.
Anyway, number 23, Optimus Prime Evolution 2-Pack. Number 24, Grimlock Evolution 2-Pack. So Evolution 2-Packs arbitrarily became parts of the Thrilling 30 here, and they make up a full sixth of the list, I believe. There are five of them, because it's number 25, Dinobot Slug Evolution 2-Pack.
I really wanted to get... Like, I almost bought that Grimlock set because I really like the colors of the movie Grimlock over just the individually packed one.
Mm-hmm.
But that other Grimlock is so terrible. I couldn't do it.
And he's got paint apps spent on the combiner head that he doesn't use. It's in there. It's got painted red eyes.
Okay, and before you name the next two, let me just get this story out of the way. Whenever we see these next two at Toys R Us's, my girlfriend like goes, "Oh, little babies," because they come with little baby versions. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I just mentioned number 25, Dinobot Slug Evolution 2-Pack, and number 26, Strafe Evolution 2-Pack. So the Dinobots appear on here a bajillion times, except for the time when they came out at San Diego Comic-Con. Yep. It's ridiculous, but whatever. Okay, here we go. Number 27, Masterpiece Prowl.
The really expensive version.
Most expensive version of Masterpiece Prowl, the American one. Number 28, Platinum Edition Silver Knight Optimus Prime.
This isn't even the best Target exclusive Silver Knight Optimus Prime.
And this is the worst of the two leader class Optimus Primes of the two that there are. Anyway, number 29, Silver Knight Optimus Prime and Grimlock. Also Target
exclusive.
That's
the best Silver Knight Optimus Prime.
It is. I've got this 2-pack, and that little deluxe Dark of the Moon Prime is great. And
these pictures do not do it justice.
No.
It's really cool.
Yeah, it's one of the most well-done uses of Chrome I've ever seen in Transformers.
And it's maybe my favorite movie Transformer toy.
It's a
just
great
because
little
toy. The Chrome was so well done, and it's a good sculpt. It works well.
Yeah, me and Aaron got that toy back at Dark of the Moon times, and I'm real glad more people are picking it up and seeing that it's actually a really nice little deluxe. Like, it's a good Transformer.
And
at number 30,
that in this picture, Grimlock still isn't transformed right. Where's his hands at? I don't know. Who cares?
Those are his fingers now. He's a Ninja Turtle. Number 30, Generations Deluxe Windblade. So there are a whole bunch of really totally suitable toys on this list, and there are a whole bunch of complete why the hell are they on this list toys on this list, to the point where there are toys not on this list that feel more suitable to be on this list than toys that are on this list. The Thrilling 30 project was a debacle. It fell apart. The front and back of the list came out before the middle of the list. The Evolutions 2-packs being on here is complete nonsense. Anyway, that all happened. And not only that, a lot of this stuff, I would still totally, if I had like the money, I'd just be like, whatever, I'll collect the Thrilling 30, except for at the very top of the list, there are two Metroplexes that are identical. And there's two times this lab set. And then there are a bunch of, like, just large Beast Hunters toys for no reason. This whole thing fell apart. It was a mess. And to this day, I have never met someone who is literally collecting all 30 Thrilling 30 toys. And I think that's just a complete mess up, because what do toy nerds love? They love buying sequentially numbered toys. Look at the Masterpiece discussion threads. This was a recipe for selling a whole bunch of cool stuff. And this, I don't know, it feels like a very meddled with list. And it didn't turn out real well. Whatever. We'll wait for the Fantastic 40th, I guess. Seth.
Oh, no. That's going to be terrible.
Well, maybe the Fantastic... Maybe the spectacular 35th or something in 5 years. Seth, do you have any other
spectacular?
Any other thoughts on this?
Sylvester the Cat to
Transformers promote. Crossover Sylvester the Cat number one on the Spectacular 35.
Spectacular 35th. This cash grab is despicable.
That's not even what Sylvester said. That was Daffy Duck, I think. Yeah, it was Daffy Duck.
I could have sworn Sylvester said despicable at some point. Who cares? What's the question?
You have any other thoughts on this list? Now in retrospect?
No. The fact that they named 30 figures to be the Thrilling 30, in that regard, I think they could have done a way better job. Because, store exclusive repaints aren't very thrilling. So the fact that two Silver Knight Optimus Primes and a weird Walmart, nothing particularly special versions. And then, so that Strafe was in the Walmart and in a Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah, so. You're buying the same Strafe toy twice if you follow the Thrilling 30.
Yeah, it's. It either could have been thought out a lot better or just refer to the year as the Thrilling 30th year instead of trying to name 30 figures where the majority of them are exclusive to either a convention or a store. And some of those cons are international. And if you're not North American or American, where their Walmarts and Targets are aplenty, then you're really boned if you had any notion of getting all 30. It's, I don't know.
On the bright side, no one should ever have a notion of getting all 30 of these, now that we've seen them. I want to give props to the Facebook page for actually having the gumption to post this list, because actually seeing this list with pictures only highlights how terrible this whole thing went. And also, Seth, I believe they also referred to the past year of Transformers as the Thrilling 30th as well. So they did that.
That's all they needed to do.
They did that, and then they had... All they had to do was number the generations line, the Thrilling 30. I think that would have filled out most of the rest of this list. If you remove all the junk and just put Generations, Deluxes, and Voyagers in here, it probably would have felt a bit better. So that happened. Have you got any other ideas for catchy ways they could refer to upcoming years where they could do 30-some or 40-some toys?
Man, I'm not...
The theocratic 33rd?
If I wasn't under the pressure of not having dead air and could sit down and think and then tweet jokes, I'd probably do a lot better than I am right now. But the pressure of quick, say something fast. I'm I can't. That all I'm thinking about is how I'm not talking.
Think of all the adjectives to start with the letters T and H.
Do you don't? We're a family friendly show. We can't do that.
All right. So the Thrilling 30 happened. Listeners, if any of you out there actually are going out of your way to collect all 30 Thrilling 30 toys, please post in the thread how it's going and whether or not you enjoy what you're doing in life. I just would like to know. The thing that's freaking me out is how many of these I actually have without knowing that they were Thrilling 30 toys. But anyway, let's do a listener question that has nothing to do with the Thrilling 30. This comes in from Switchblade. It says, "Proud Podcastonians, colon. I recently had cause to be stuck in a hospital waiting room while the TV was locked on Dancing with the Stars."
Bummer.
Yeah, I hope everything's okay on the hospital end, and I hope you're okay on the Dancing with the Stars end. Seeing that one guy from that one show that I was dimly aware of in the 90s got some wheels turning in my mind. I think also watching Dancing in the Stars in a hospital waiting room probably got wheels turning in your mind. What if there was a reality show for old cartoon characters from the 80s and 90s to go on and try to recapture some of their former glory? So here's my question and or request for you. What Transformers character or characters would you like to see competing on a reality-style competition series? I'm thinking G1 here, but don't feel like you need to limit yourselves. What kind of show would it be? Dancing? Racing? Doing menial tasks for Donald Trump? How do you think they'd do? Are there any other old cartoon characters you'd want to see competing on the show, too? Personally, I like the idea of seeing the Season 3 Decepticon Trinity on some kind of Amazing Race-esque global race. It amuses me to think of Galvatron standing around trying to argue with a foreign road sign while Scourge tries to cram local artifacts into his chest and Cyclonus stands around in the background, dying inside. As for the competition, obviously Dick Dastardly and Muttley would have to be on the show, but I also can't shake the idea that it would be darkly fun to see T-Bob and Scott Tracker from Mask lost in a shady black market opium den somewhere in the Far East, also Sektars, because I had one as a kid and vaguely remember thinking it was cool. Thanks for reading my question, and I'll take my answer off the air.
If it was a cross-country race, like a wacky racers kind of thing, as the Steindly, Whiplash, and Muttley would imply, I can't remember any of the human characters from GoBots, but like one of them teamed up with Scooter would be
the blonde guy.
Worst things. Yeah.
The blonde guy in the orange shirt was always hanging out with Scooter.
Yeah, and man, that voice actor for Scooter, he was on a bunch of stuff in that time period.
That was Frank Welker.
That was Frank Welker?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he did a similar voice to Scooter, and I can't stand that voice.
Not me neither. It's
stand it. And there were other like similar sounding characters in that era of cartoons. It like there was a while it was like every cartoon had like the one like more child like smaller child friendly character that had some crazy like pinched nose voice. And I always hated those characters. And Scooter was one of those characters. It really bums me out that Frank Welker is to blame.
20 some years later, just like Frank Welker, respect lost.
Not lost, just diminished.
I would really like, I'd want it would have to be Dancing for the Stars, because I think that the idea of that show's hilarious.
Well, they did that animated reality show, and I'm doing air quotes with my fingers, drawn together on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And that, I thought that was awful.
I never saw it.
It might be weird if somebody. I could see Adult Swim being able to do something funny, like a 15-minute long episode kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they could get, well, I mean, they would have access to like Hanna-Barbera characters, but if they could get like other stuff like Transformers and G.I. Joe and He-Man and. I think Adult Swim could do something funny. Like, I would kind of, I don't know. My first thought would be, like, a Big Brother sort of situation. Or maybe a Survivor parody with all these characters from 80s cartoons. Yeah, I just wouldn't want to see it happen unless I could really believe in the people that were doing it.
I
would want it to be, like, more. A little kind of edgy and irreverent. And I think Adult Swim, they're the only people I could think of that could pull it off.
I'm going into full fantasy world where cartoon characters just go into retirement.
Uh-huh.
And I would want to see the Skuckzoid from Transformers Season 3 on Dancing with the Stars. Skuckzoid was the really fat lizard alien with the silly little helmet that Springer always beat up.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't want the main character from any of those shows either.
Yeah.
Like there would be a Transformer involved, but it wouldn't be Optimus Prime. It'd be Blue Streak or Skids, like some lower tier character that got very little TV time. Because those are the people that tend to land like celebrity versions of reality shows, like Celebrity Big Brother or whatever. Like that's the or Celebrity Fit Club. Like you get somebody that was in one show you kind of remember from 20 years ago, and a dude that was in a band that had one song you heard on the radio for a while. You don't get A-list stars on those shows.
That's why it's got to be the Skuckzoid, because not only is he from Transformers and a bit player, he doesn't even transform. He's an alien lizard.
Yeah, the G.I. Joe character is a Cobra Trooper.
Yeah. And he just keeps insisting he's the one you remember from this one scene. He's just like, what's your favorite scene in G.I. Joe? Yeah, that was me.
Yeah, I was that guy.
Yeah. also,
I was the one that bailed out of the helicopter. I was the one that parachuted out of the helicopter in that battle.
Going outside of Transformers, I'd want the cast, members of the cast from the Computer Warriors pilot. And I just want them to just, all they would do is just whatever question you talk to them about, whatever topic you're talking to them about, they'd somehow wheel it around to how Reboot stole all their ideas. And they did it first. And how they all still remember the Computer Warriors rap. If you've never seen Computer Warriors, the pilot's out there on YouTube. It was a very formulative piece of my childhood that I watched a gajillion times. It's kind of, it's really worth seeing. Go look up Computer Warriors pilot.
If you hear all that clicking, I'm looking for it now.
Yeah, it's great. And then after you watch it, try to find the Computer Warriors rap, because they, when they sold the pilot on VHS, they then did the, they showed a behind the scenes feature afterwards. But the only behind the scenes feature they made for Computer Warriors was done in the style of garbage 80s rap for children. And it's great. Everyone should see it. It had a toy line as well, a very short-lived toy line through Mattel. There was a Pepsi can that turned into a turret, and an alarm clock that turned into a tank.
What I found is a commercial. I was completely unaware of any of this.
I never knew there were toys until decades later. I just thought it was a one-off cartoon for years. I saw it when I was in elementary school. I got the VHS and my mom and dad bootlegged it for me because that's what they did. So you should, Seth, you should watch the pilot. It's pretty great.
These toys are kind of cool.
Yeah. The pilot has some really cool stuff.
Okay, this is the pilot that started with a toy commercial.
Okay. Yeah, you should watch that and let me know what you think later on. Don't watch it now, because that'll make for a really boring 20 minutes of podcast. Oh, but
I'm watching.
All right. Well, Vault Seth watched. Thanks, Switchblade, for your listener question. We're going to take a little intermission, and we'll be back with what we got this week. Seth, I'm going to start the intermission now.
Shut up!
Talk to you in a bit.
My name is Brian. This is my dad.
Hi.
Scan this video. It's really rad.
Rad? How rad is it? Whoa.
Computer warriors, check them, Dad. Some are good, some are bad. They materialize before your eyes. Better get wise, they are easily disguised.
Imagination has gone to the moon. You got some homework that you ought to be doing.
Finished up an hour ago. Now scope this awesome video.
So tell me, who's responsible?
Some Hollywood professionals. As a group, they're quite exceptional, creative and original. Between them, they've got the tools to make a cartoon really cool. They got the go. From the Croyer said, now we'll do Computer Warriors. Yeah.
Welcome back, everyone. I was just telling Seth about the story I shared at the top of the podcast last week, that as of now I actually still haven't got up, about the way that I turned into a horrific, like, the thing that finally truly cemented me as a pickup truck racist. Once and for all, truly turned me against the pickup truck. So I've now relayed that story to Seth. Seth, you don't drive a pickup truck, do you?
No.
Okay. You're cool.
Okay.
You know what, though? Listen, I said it last week, I'll say it again. I have friends who drive pickup trucks, okay?
Some of my best friends drive pickup trucks.
Yeah, I have friends who drive pickup trucks. It's cool, all right? They're the exception to the case that pickup trucks are often complete scumwads.
You're one of the good ones.
Yeah, no, you're one of the good ones. It's okay. It's cool. I'm not talking about you, buddy. I'm talking about the rest of, that are making all the rest of you guys look bad. That's who I'm talking about. Seth, I also wanted to ask you something while we were recording, because I don't know if you even heard of this. I'm going to send you a YouTube link, and I want you to look at what pops up, and I want you to tell me what you think about what you see.
I have a unskippable pre-roll ad, so I'll let you know in another 22 seconds.
Oh, no.
But I'm looking at the title.
Yeah.
This is a very long pre-roll ad, or pre-roll ads are terrible. Well, they did... Okay, I'm not terribly surprised, because they did a WWE Scooby-Doo thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if it's a Kmart exclusive or what, but I've seen WWE Scooby-Doo toys.
All right.
So it's like, here's Mr. McMagma. That's great.
Yeah. Are you getting into the names now?
Yeah, they're great.
Some of the names are pretty bad for what they're trying to do. Like John Cena Stone.
Yeah.
What he's looking at, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, is the trailer for The Flintstones and WWE Stone Age SmackDown.
The voice of Barney is terrible.
Yeah, it's one of the worst Barney voices I've ever heard. Because it doesn't sound like Barney at all.
And I wonder if... Okay, because CM Punk Rock is part of this whole thing. So I wonder if this was part of the big negotiation that CM Punk and the WWE just came out of. That.
Well, they were making this apparently since like nearly a year ago.
Yeah, well, it takes a while to do.
But like they locked in everything about this ages ago. So I thought it was funny that he's still in it.
Yeah, just recently. Well, like the Bella Twins aren't a tag team anymore, so that's another. Well, this always happens with wrestling stuff. You mean
the Boulder Twins, Seth?
Yeah, that's what I meant. I misspoke. I'm tongue-tied. But like this happens in video games. Like a wrestling video game comes out, and it's like half the characters aren't with the company anymore, or their gimmick has changed.
You know what my favorite part of this thing was? Is that the Undertaker is just the Undertaker.
Under Boulder.
No, in the trailer he is just the Undertaker. I know, but
I'm trying to think of something else.
The implication being that the Undertaker is truly undead and has existed since the Stone Age. Anyway, let's talk about what we got this week here on WTF and TFW. We're going to talk about Transformers we got this past week. Seth, I want to know if, in whatever Black Friday adventures you did you get any Transformers?
No.
Oh, no!
Now, I was rushing through Target last weekend. We had gone in and we had to get out, and they had,
had
Skybite and Roadbuster on sale. And it was one of those things where like I saw them and I wasn't like necessarily hunting for them, but then they were on sale. And then I was trying to, like, look at him and decide, but we really, really had to go. Like, really had to go, and I had to walk away from him. But that Roadbuster, the colors and everything, it looks pretty cool. I don't know. Maybe I should go back and see if they're still there and still on sale.
I got the Japanese Roadbuster loose and stolen Chinese, and I don't know if the colors on him are much different, but he's a kind of cool toy. He's just... it was Nick T16 Skyhop explained to me on Twitter like precisely what the thing to watch out for on him is, and he's a cool little toy, but he apparently has some pins in his ratchet systems that at least the North American version are pretty good at unpinning themselves.
That's on the Roadbuster?
Yeah,
that's unfortunate.
He's got some pin rivet connections that are a bit hinky. It's not like they round the board are falling apart. It's only happened to one or two people, but it is like a thing to be aware of on him.
Yeah.
Like you have to grip his shoulder block when you move his arm, basically. Or it might start stressing stuff. But he transforms really cool.
Yeah, just seeing Skybite in the box, like it looked more impressive than I thought he looked in pictures.
Yeah, in person, I haven't messed with Skybite in hand, but I've seen him a couple times, and in person he looks way better than in pictures.
Yeah.
It helps being able to turn him a little bit, because I think that, like, seeing him as a 2D picture, especially in his legs, just makes his makes him look a lot more frail than he is. But I got some Transformers this last week I can talk about.
Okay.
I got Masterpiece Bumblebee and Daniel in Exosuit. A little bit of a debate going on, because I just assumed it was Daniel in part because he's got puffy hair, and in part because in the instruction book, the picture shows Daniel in the exosuit in its alt mode. A lot of people were, like, hoping that it's Spike, because getting Spike and Bumblebee in a set makes more sense.
Yeah. I thought everyone was pretty certain it was going to be Spike.
So So the hair, this is, I mean, this is mostly, I was thinking this and people were talking me out of it until Josh Prez popped in going like, oh yeah, the hair totally is Daniel's. Nah, I'm really certain this is Daniel. But I don't know. This is like someone else said this and I agree. This is going to be like the Rumble's red, Frenzy's blue nonsense for the next little while. Is like, is this Spike or Daniel? It's a barely painted head in the first place, so it's really hard to tell. And most of this toy is just an exosuit, so it doesn't really matter. But Masterpiece Bumblebee and Exosuit Man are a really good set of toys, in my opinion. The exosuit's a super nice surprise. Like, people are... I've been seeing reports that the ball socket joint for the elbow is popping on a lot of people's. I've had it pop once or twice, but it certainly doesn't feel, like, loose on mine. He's not, like, very poseable in his, quote-unquote, like, robot mode, but the transformation's way more involved than what I thought it was going to be for, you know, what the exosuit does. It's kind of impressive, the way it transforms. And Bumblebee is wonderful. It's all the good feelings I've gotten from the last couple of Masterpiece toys. And just like with Wheeljack, pictures I thought were like, yeah, they're okay. I'll just get him because he's probably going to be okay. Then I get him in hand and he's freaking amazing. Same thing happened with Bumblebee. I think he's beautiful. The way he transforms is really clever and really intuitive. I was able to transform him without instructions, and I don't mean that as an insult. It was just so well designed, and there are tabs and slots all over the place that match up in shape and size to kind of guide you through it. It's really impressive the way the transformation works. There's a thing with a piece of the hood I will not spoil. It wasn't spoiled to me. And seeing it seeing it happen the first time, I was just smiling. And that's not the only part of the transformation, but that's just one of the highlights. He's pretty poseable in robot mode. Both modes, I think, look good. Robot mode has a bit of a shell on the back that has enough wiggle to sometimes look a bit too unseated for my taste, but I don't really care. He's got a hollow space on the inside of his forearms that his fists flip out of, and that's been highlighted by a lot of people saying that they feel that that's, you know, beneath Masterpiece, and it's quite a pockmark on the toy. I don't disagree that it's a bummer, and I don't disagree that it feels like perhaps there are one or two ways it could have been solved, but to be perfectly honest, if I try to act as though it bothers me, I realize quickly I'm just, like, forcing myself to be hung up on it. I honestly don't care about the hollow forearm spot on his... I just don't care! It's a good toy. And it's a good enough toy that it has qualities that make me not really give a crap about the hollow spot on the forearms. Like, I can acknowledge it's there, but if I'm going to try to say, oh, and it's an inexcusable thing on this Masterpiece toy, it's a definite point off the 10 score, I can't say that without either making fun of that notion or, like, forcing myself to be annoyed by something I really don't care about. So, really, really good toy. In my opinion, he's quite small. I think it's impressive what he's able to do at his size. He is designed to fit in with like that old size chart from the story Bible. So he's really small. Like he's in robot modes comparable to a modern deluxe toy. But he size chartedly according to the other Masterpiece toys. So, you know, be prepared for a small Bumblebee when you get this toy. Like, half the box is Bumblebee, half the box is Exosuit. But it's a really nice pair of toys, and I am really impressed by the Exosuit, considering it's basically an accessory. It's so cool to see the Exosuit transform in person after all these years. That's all I really got to say. Seth, yours is on the way.
Yeah, I just today shipped a pile of loot with it.
Yeah.
So I'll have it by the next odd episode.
I'm looking forward to gabbing about it.
Sneezy banjo in the background. Yo, man, what's going on, banjo?
Banjo, get out of the cocaine, man. We're recording. Got white powder all over his face. I do what I want. I just wanted to spit a few thoughts about Bumblebee. Now that I've had him for a day and a half, I really like him, much like I like Wheeljack. I also got some unofficial third party transforming robot toys, Seth.
Oh.
They make those. It's kind of illegal. I got a couple of things while I was over in the States. I shipped a big bad thing that showed up before I left, so it all timed out nicely. One of those things was the third release from Planet X. I'm scrolling down to grab a photo of it as well. But this was Planet X Neptune, which is their version of the video game Sludge, who had design photos done, or design pictures, sorry, done, but in the game, he never actually got to be a Dinobot. He's the guy where you kind of find his body chained to a wall with a black box recording. But the toy's really cool. It comes with a pair of big cannons and a pair of frigging light-piped warhammers, which is neat. The transformation's cool. He turns into a robot brontosaurus with a really big butt. But I like both modes. I like transforming him. If he's better than Kalus, which is the swoop figure that came before him from Planet X. I think that Kalus is still the best of the two, just in terms of both the figure's delivery and the bang for your buck. But they did a good enough job, I think, with Neptune. He's got a couple things here and there that bug me, but overall, I think he's up to par for Planet X. And as of, you know, a couple weeks ago, I've got all three Planet X toys. So overall, they're a company I dig. I don't know if that was them driving by just now, but I'm happy with Neptune, and I've really kind of just settled into my groove of, like, if it's third-party stuff based on the video games, I will definitely not only look at it, but probably consider grabbing it. I feel a real deep nostalgia for the video games this year. I don't know why. It's only a couple years old. And the other thing that came in that box was Iron Factory's Turrets and Manacle. So Seth, I'm going to send you a series of, I think, four or so tweets I did. I'm taking photos of these things just to bring you along on the journey. So I got these figures. It's Six Gun and Slammer is a pair of Legends toys, Slammer being the white tank who, until now, never actually had a transforming toy. And the Slammer tank transformer they did, Manacle, is a really good Legends toy. It is a really well-done, like, budget-up, Legend-scale tank transformer. It's extremely impressive. Six Gun also turned out great. He's full of personality. His sculpt is good. He's pretty poseable. He's only really missing, like, a waist joint. But here's the best part of the figure. He splits in half at the waist to basically turn into a pair of double-barrel guns and does a pretty decent job of it. But as a robot, he has this undocumented feature that you can do, which I have now sent a picture of to Seth.
I'm looking.
Do you see what he did?
He has his hands on his hips.
You see what's between his hips?
Oh, that's not okay.
Yeah, he has a deployable.
Is this 99 again? What year is this?
He has a deployable penis.
Yeah.
Here, I sent you another picture of him in Manacle with his dick out. Right. Because the sassy posture that Six Gun has here, that Turrets has. I just see Turrets and Manacle as this odd couple. Turrets just being this weird dude who just, you know, whips his peg out now and then. Manacle's just like, God damn it, Turrets. And then I pulled out Scamper from Generations Metroplex. I put the three together and just look at them. Like, they look like I said in the tweet, they're a friggin' sitcom cast. Metro Livin', Season 1, Episode 1. It's these three guys living in Metroplex. I really like Turrets and Manacle. Turrets...
Are they a sitcom or a wrestling faction?
It's a sitcom. It's a sitcom.
Okay. All right.
Although, I don't know, maybe. They're the Shield, but Autobots.
That'd be awesome if one of them turned into a Shield.
So they come with these two...
They're those mini-cons that turn into the Shield.
Yeah, like, well, Manacle's tank turret splits in half to turn into, like, a gun and a shield for his arm. And they come with two shields, four shotguns, four missile launcher pods, and two laser pistols that can also combine into a pair of, like, big weapon pods. All of it's 5mm compatible. These are super playable toys. They are extremely fun. I haven't even messed with them with Metroplex yet. This Six Gun is... I never knew until now that making Six Gun a legend scale toy and a partner with a transforming Slammer was the way to go. Because, like, basically Scamper, Six Gun, and Slammer as three Legends toys works so perfectly. I'm really in love with these toys. If you ever get the anyone out there listening, Seth, anyone out there who hears this, if you get the chance and you have the bucks, Turrets and Manacle are super worth your time. They're just fun. Especially because they come with like 8 weapons. So they're and a lot of it, like all the weapons have like pegs and holes on them. Turrets turns into a pair of guns. So there's like all kinds of ways you can like just fan mode stuff together between the two of them. And it's really cool stuff. I think I took a picture of just, like, piling a bunch of guns onto turrets. Yeah, here it is. I'm imagining that he's saying, "My name is Turrets," as he's, like, leveling all these guns at somebody. But, yeah, it's a super fun set. And I think it's around $45, in my opinion, well worth it for an unofficial toy set that is so fun and playable. Yeah, I'm in love with it. I'm flipping out. Backflips over here about this turrets.
If I had the Metroplex, I'd probably be more interested. I mean, hearing that they're good makes me more interested in like those other figures I got coming that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So I may hold off on these guys, but check out the later stuff.
I'd say eventually it'd be worth picking these guys up too, because like I am really loving them, and I have not even put them anywhere near Metroplex. I'm getting repro labels for Metroplex to bring him up to par with these little figures, basically, and all the other stuff Iron Factory is putting out. Like, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like, the way they've been designed, they are just two fun figures. They can turn into, like, a vehicle and a whole bunch of accessories just for any Transformer, because it's all 5mm. So they kind of don't even need to have a Metroplex with them. Which is a smart piece of design. It's what sets them apart, I think, from all the like the other 2-6 guns, which are entirely dependent on you having Metroplex. Anyway, I think that's it for Transformer stuff from me. So, Seth Buzzard, what were you out doing on Black Friday, and what else did you get this last week?
Well, I was heading to work. Because I work Friday. But I left a little early. Usually I would swing by Staples because it's on the way. And, you know, by the time I get there, the doorbusters are long gone.
Doorbusters.
But, like, you, they're usually like, oh, I could get a thumb drive and a memory card, like, kind of cheap. And, like, I grab a handful of those things. I decided not to bother. But I did duck into GameStop. Because when I got my Xbox One, I didn't bother getting a second control pad. But now that, you know, I'm living with a girlfriend and we might want to play two-player games at some point, I've been looking to get another control pad. And they were running a sale on that day where it was $15 off control pads.
All right.
So I just got a basic black one. Because I didn't want to have to buy, like, the battery pack rechargeable kit separately. Just wanted to get a package with everything together. Otherwise, I might have gotten like one of the other like fancy colored ones, like the Call of Duty one, or there was another like special colored one. But I just, you know, I just want all the parts. I'm not using double A's. It's silly. So I grabbed that. Then did I talk about getting these Star Wars figures last time?
So I can't...
The black label guys?
I don't recall anymore. I don't remember talking to you about at least one of them, though.
Oh, maybe I got them, but I hadn't opened them?
That might be it, yeah.
Okay, well, anyway, so I got this most recent wave of the 6-inch black label figures, which is Darth Vader, Chewbacca, the Wookiee, a Desert Stormtrooper with the other color shoulder piece.
That's ridiculous.
And, well, at least it's not just a straight release. It's technically another Stormtrooper.
Stormtrooper B.
All right. That doesn't bother me. Return of the Jedi black outfit Luke Skywalker, which comes with, like, a kind of weird accessory. So, like, you could pop his chest plate off, his chest piece, and either have his little shirt there all buttoned up, or have it where it's partially flapped down, so you get like the gray flap hanging down.
Oh, I think now I remember us talking about that Luke.
Did we?
I think we talked about the Luke. I just don't think we talked about Vader. I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
I don't know. Some listeners will probably be able to tell us, but.
Well, Vader's helmet comes off.
All right.
Which kind of gives his face mask a little. It makes it look a little fuller and jutting out more than it probably should.
Yeah.
It's not terrible, but it does look a little off. The sculpting for the head underneath, I think, is all right. Like the little chin piece that stays attached. Like they sculpted all the little tech details. And there's even a lot of sculpting inside the helmet. That's not something you would probably notice right away.
That's kind of cool.
His cape is really, really long. Like dragon on the ground long. Like the little kind of skirt piece hangs down well past his feet.
Yeah.
And when you kind of open his cape up, it's like Batman would be jealous.
it's ceremonial Vader.
Yeah. Here, let me, I'll try to keep. I have gotten to the point where it's very hard for me to do two things at once, but let me see if I could, like, get a picture real quick, and then I'll tweet it at you.
All right. I'm looking at your Twitter. I see the crossover picture.
Yeah. I was messing around earlier.
By the way, because it's topical, there's a new Star Wars movie coming out, and there's a trailer for it.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited.
Me too. I think it looks cool. I think people who are flipping out about the little lightsaber hilt guards on the bigger lightsaber are crazy. The idea that, like, lightsabers can be too silly, I feel like people got to kind of dial back for a second and realize they're talking about fantasy laser swords.
Yeah, and it seems like since the original movies, it's been, like, gimmick lightsabers all around, especially for the Sith.
Yeah, it's...
Darth Maul had his double-ender. Darth Sidious, the Emperor, had his little spring-loaded job that popped out of his shirt sleeve. Count Dooku had the curved blades. So,
also, it's crazy. It's a display of the mastery one has over the Force to not only, you know, control a lightsaber blade, but to have those two smaller split off parts of the main, you know, prism signal, like, you know, under control as well. That is just showing off the mastery one has over the Force. May I remind you all, the Force, the mystical mastery over time, space, and material itself. With the laser swords. I don't know.
Yeah, and so there's been so much made over that lightsaber online. And like the argument was, well, if it's supposed to be like a handguard, then the first time sabers clash and the blades slide down, it would just cut through that little T section.
But it's the whole
chop off your hand anyway.
The laser comes from one source. It'll just cut into the laser. That's the whole point.
That's what Stephen Colbert said.
Yeah, and he's
Stephen
right.
Stephen Colbert did a big, huge thing about it, which was really funny.
And he's completely right. Where do you think the little lasers come from? There's a whole science behind lightsabers. That's how you become a Jedi or a Sith, is you build your lightsaber. I read a novel about it once.
Well, the end of his rant, like he goes, and if you still don't understand it, you'll get it in about 2 weeks when you catch up to where I am.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
But then like other people I saw like explain it as like there are materials that lightsabers can't cut through.
Yeah, General Grievous's guards had lightsaber-proof sticks. That's how they fought the Jedi.
Yeah.
That's the whole point. And that was a billion years before the original trilogy happened. So
now, what I like, okay, like, whatever, the little side blades, whatever. But the detail of the effect for the saber itself, where it looks a little, it doesn't look like a smooth beam like you usually see in lightsabers. It looks kind of fuzzy and
yeah.
and it's a little rougher looking, and that kind of plays into Star Wars lore about like the artificial crystals the Sith use, and how sometimes they can have like a more unstable beam generated.
Mm-hmm.
So like assuming they're not just like getting fancy with the special effects and are, you know, paying heed to that bit of the lore, I think that's kind of cool. Like maybe like whoever this hunched over dude is, like maybe he just, you know, once the Sith is in a bad way at this point, maybe all he could get his hands on was one of these kind of crummy crystals. I don't know. I have a lot of hope for that movie. You may even say it's a new hope.
Oh God.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing the movie, and I'm going in with the assumption that they didn't screw the whole thing up.
Yeah, the thing I'm excited about, I mentioned this to you already off recording, but it's the whole thing that made me really enjoy Harry Potter 3. I think it was 3, where they brought in a real actual director who had directorial vision and ability. And a lot of that trailer, especially even that first shot in the desert, felt like it's in the Star Wars universe, but an actual director, an actual modern director, is like having an actual creative vision taking place in that universe, and I could feel it immediately, and that felt really cool. So
yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Assumption for the helmetless stormtrooper in the desert is that's going to be like one of the new heroes who like escaped dressed as a stormtrooper from something somewhere.
I kind of hope he really is just a stormtrooper who like just ends up in a bad way and without his helmet.
Yeah.
Because then, what, like, okay, so way back when I was playing Jedi Knight 2 online a whole bunch, I used a Stormtrooper as my player model, so it would be a Stormtrooper with a lightsaber, and I called him the Force Trooper.
Uh-huh.
And then I kept thinking, like, I wish I could, like, pursue this character, because I want to imagine the Stormtrooper who, like, just keeps, like, finding discarded lightsabers and, like, duct tapes them all together into, like, a really fat lightsaber. And I'm hoping that perhaps they are finally realizing my dream with this character.
Well, I kind of like never seeing Stormtrooper faces, though.
I guess.
Like, even when Luke and Han jacked a couple troopers and stole their armor, we never saw the dudes that were underneath.
Yeah. Well, who knows who Stormtroopers even are at the point of this movie? They might not all just be an Australian man. Like they, or New Zealand man. I can't remember.
They might not all just be one man.
Seth, that, well, Darth Vader.
I think like expanded universe kind of got into like the clones were never replaced. So as they aged out and died off, they were just replaced with people.
Yeah, but that's EU. That doesn't.
I know.
That goes into continuity C712 or whatever on the Wikipedia. That Darth Vader cape is enormous, by the way. I'm looking at your tweeted picture now. That's a pretty big half circle of fabric. You should cut it in the bottom into a Batman cape shape.
Yeah, and then wreck my Darth Vader and have to find a new one.
Yes. And cut little Batman spikes into the bottom of his skirt, too. Make real Bat Vader.
Yeah, the Chewbacca is interesting. I don't know about his face sculpt. I mean, from when you look at it dead on, he looks kind of crazy because he's sort of like mid Wookiee bellowing.
That's my Wookiee noise.
Yeah, but he has two points of articulation in his torso,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of weird. But it works. You know, it works. I might have to glue the bow part of his bowcaster on because it keeps falling off.
Bummer.
It doesn't. Because it's in the package, it's detached. You know, so it fits. But then the friction that holds it on isn't very good. But I think they did all right with Chewie. He's all right. They didn't screw it up, but nothing about it really stands out as being exceptional either.
Yeah. So.
They did fine. They did fine. Chewie's fine. Everything's fine.
Star Wars is great. Everything's fine.
Yeah, it's a good set though.
Mm-hmm.
Like it. Then I got another Stormtrooper off Amazon, like playing Stormtrooper, because I wanted to have two playing, not dirty Stormtroopers to hang out, like flanking Vader.
Yeah.
I still can't believe there's no C-3PO coming, but at least none has been announced. The next wave that's announced still has no C-3PO. It's got a weird looking Yoda. I think Yoda looks a little funny. His hair, the way it's painted and sculpted, looks strange to me.
Yeah, the whole 6-inch Black Series line had a supremely strong start, and it feels like it was all set up and ready to go for two waves, and then kind of just forgot to do anything afterwards, but kept making toys.
Well, I think this wave is good.
Yeah, well, they all look fine. It's
you get three good characters and then another Stormtrooper, and who doesn't want more Stormtroopers anyway?
Yeah,
The next wave, I'm much less fired up over.
I just feel like the fire behind the actual line, like, is... It's not like it's gone, it's just I don't know what it's looking at. You know, like, I feel like Black Label is just now this thing that sort of quietly happens when it was, like, bombastically all over MTV.com when it was debuting, and... I don't know.
Yeah, well, now I'm kind of eyeballing the Reveltech C-3PO.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I should just put a pre-order on that from Big Bad, where I could cancel the pre-order easily and just kind of see how things go. But then if I do end up getting the Reveltech C-3PO and then it doesn't look right with the Black Label figure, I don't know. I don't know what to do. Well, it's just really lame that there's no C-3PO yet.
If it ends up not looking right, just sell it to Crasis. I'm sure there's some way that between the two of us we can browbeat him into buying another C-3PO.
So, but I already have the Reveltech one. Shut up. Do as you're told.
Buy it!
Do as you're told! Buy your betters! Put that mask on and...
Oh, TFCon.
Jackknife powerbomb him through a table or something.
Because that'll make him buy toys.
I think that's all I've gotten.
All right.
I haven't gotten too much. I gotta start Christmas shopping.
Oh, man.
I gotta start spending money on other people. It's a real bummer.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. It's December. It's a week into December.
Yeah, like, it's gonna be happening before you know it.
I haven't been thinking about it at all, because that's kind of how I just...
That's how it sneaks up on you.
That's how I just go through life, is not thinking about things.
Oh, kind of circling back around to Black Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I get up that morning, and I'm getting ready for work. And usually when I get ready for work, I put on one of the local news channels. And they start showing a clip of people stampeding through a door and trampling each other.
All right!
And I'm like, oh, here we go again. There's the shot. And then the news person, the local news person, is like, oh, Black Friday craziness, but there's a twist. This isn't America. This is from this blah, 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 just outside of London, whatever city she names. And I felt real bad.
Yeah.
I felt even worse.
Yeah, Black Friday's been infecting the entire world over the last couple of years.
I felt like we should be apologizing to the UK for... crapping or garbage all over them.
you get Canada as well, where it's already mutated into garbage like, hey guys, it's not Black Friday yet, but it's Black Friday, here in Canada. And I'm like, wow, I want to flip your store over, like a table, but your store. Not like, it's like as though I'm flipping a table over, but it's the entire building that is your store, because I hate you now.
Oh, yesterday I get an email from Toys R Us saying, Black Friday's back!
Yeah.
It's the Friday. It's the following Friday. It's like, no. No, it's not. You people are assholes. Stop it.
You've all forgotten what the black even means. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway.
Black Friday starts on Thursday now. No!
Twice! For a couple Thursdays. Hey guys, it's not Cyber Not Monday on this Wednesday where we're having sales on the internet.
Well... Here, Kmart opened at 6 on Thanksgiving Day, and then we're going to be open for 48 hours straight.
Because that's a good idea.
Yeah, and apparently, like, it was, like, volunteers first for employees, but then if not enough employees volunteered to work on Thursday, then you would just get assigned, and then if you didn't show up, you were probably going to get fired.
That's a great way to get someone to show up to work with a shotgun.
It's a great way to get negative press.
That too.
And lose customers, because it made me feel really gross about going to Kmart.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't going anywhere on Thursday anyway. We were busy. We were hosting Thanksgiving and at our new place, so it was the whole thing.
You're like, God damn it, I've been to that Kmart once or twice or whatever.
But, yeah, stores opening on Thursday, on Thanksgiving Day, I think is the worst thing. It's so much worse than everything else. It's around Black Friday. It's disgusting. And I'm not going to ever support it. I think it's terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. Blech. Well, to completely just, like, talk about something different, but still relevant to Seth. Seth, a while ago, I remembered you'd gotten these cool little GLaDOS-compatible guys from Banamon, little Red Soldier guys. This is a long time ago.
Did I?
I'm pretty sure you did, because I didn't get them, but you were talking about them a bunch.
From GLaDOS?
Yeah, here, I'll send you a picture of what they looked like.
Is the only GLaDOS I've ever gotten was that,
the Colgrim Cycle?
Colgrim Cycle and, I forget what they were called, but they were the...
I think they were these little guys.
No, I never got these guys.
You didn't?
No.
Why did I think you... I could have sworn you'd gotten that little Red Army guy on the right.
No.
Oh, you were probably just looking at him because he was Red Army. We were talking about it. Okay, well...
I don't know. Did TJ get him?
I don't think so. I remain the sole Banamon collector of this podcast.
All right.
But I got a couple of those little Red Army guys. And while I was in the States, I basically had four of them there that I, you know, picked up and had shipped to me in the States. And I built a little robot man out of... I took basically all their heads off and used their guns and bodies, and I made this little robot man that could transform into a Lego-scaled little, like, hover car walker thing. And I was real proud of it. And he's got big googly eyes, and his mouth is permanently open screaming, and so is his crotch. The other thing I got off topic was I got the third release in the 6-inch scale stuff that David White is doing on his Mechazone project over on Mechazone.com and his store Envy. So I got the Mechanaut V2 Biologist, which was printed in translucent blue plastic, semi-translucent blue plastic, which looks super cool after the acetone smoothing treatment is done to it. And this is probably the most Microman looking of the bunch so far, because he's got a bunch of translucent bits on him. His translucent smoky skull cap actually comes off, and he's got a fully metal head underneath, and he's got flippers because he's a biologist, and I kind of like that because biologists all are swimmers. But it's a cool toy. His Mechanaut stuff and Predanaut stuff is still, I think, super cool. But when I got this, he threw in something extra that I guess he remembered. I was talking about how I discovered this toy the day after it sold out, and that's how I discovered his Mechazone stuff. He printed a fresh Vindicator for me in green, which it looks similar to this one. It's the same colors, but has like a different color placement. And it's a really cool little figure. It's basically like a little, like, 2¾-inch tall robot, 3D printed, that has a fairly convincing transformation into a little tank. And it's a super cool little toy. And on his Instagram, he just posted pictures of a Vindicator Mark II with a few different little improvements, including, like, better wheels and a slightly different setup just to how the whole body works. And it looks really cool, so hopefully that comes out soon. And I think it's pretty affordable, like a little, like, near 3-inch tall transformer for $15 that somebody 3D printed and acetone treated on their own, to me, is a pretty good deal. But, yeah, I'm still really enjoying this Mechazone stuff. He's got a release coming out on Monday for Christmas, which is a bag of 4 robots that I'm hoping to grab when it comes out. I'm not sure if I'll get it in time, because I think he's only making a few. But it's really cool. And I was also recently watching some videos about 3D printing on Tested.com, so I've just been in a Been in a little 3D printed fugue for a couple days.
Oh, there's a documentary on 3D printing on Netflix I watched.
Oh, you mentioned that to me.
Just recently. Yeah, I just started watching it when I tweeted you. Like, yeah. I was watching it during my lunch break, so it took me a couple of days to get through it. But, yeah, it's really interesting, and it really, really makes me want a 3D printer. And then by the end, it makes me nervous about getting a 3D printer from any of the companies featured in the documentary. because you kind of see, like, over the course of it, you kind of see MakerBot not being what it originally was. Like, they stop open sourcing, they go to being closed sourced, and then they merge with a much bigger company.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, okay, well, now they're not independent anymore, now they're part of this much bigger company. So it kind of profiles, I mean, it mostly focuses on MakerBot and I forget the name of the other one, but they started as a Kickstarter project.
I only know MakerBot and Affinia. That's the only two. No, I know MakerBot from Tested, and Affinia is what Mechazone uses.
No, it's not that one, but they don't their printer doesn't work through extrusion. It's like the vata goo and then the laser.
Oh, cured. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Right. So it mostly focuses on those two. And then where they sort of come into contact with these two huge companies that make like the big industrial printers for like what I'm sure Hasbro has.
Yeah.
Like the big multi-$100,000 machines.
What I'm guessing Shapeways has.
Right. And then one of those companies is suing the guys that are doing the Vatigo and laser one because they say they're infringing on patents. And then MakerBot sells out to the other guys. But I don't know.
It's a real interesting scene to watch. Like, I love the idea of the stuff, and having been exposed to a little bit of it over the last few months in a somewhat deeper fashion, I'm kind of like, I love the idea of this stuff. I don't need a printer myself, but maybe in 5 or 6 years it'll hit the point where having a printer myself will be worthwhile.
Yeah, if I had experience and skill in creating 3D models, then I would be much more likely to be trying to get my hands on a 3D printer right now.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Or be more motivated.
Yeah, if I could actually, like, if I knew I could make something within a couple months of actually getting a printer, like something original and not just printing someone else's stuff.
Right.
Then that, because that's what, to me, that's what they're for right now, on the basis level is, like, easy example, someone like Mechazone, or like Promethium 5, or Brown Noise, or Wulong T, like all those guys I'm aware of who, or Fake Busker, you know, people who make cool toy stuff. In CAD that is made to be translated into 3D printing. To have your own printer, to me, is like, that's entirely logical, because now you're able to create at least your own prototypes in-house without having to wait for Shapeways or for someone else to print it for you. But if I'm just like a consumer, then yeah, it's like, what am I going to do with the printer other than print what other people have designed?
Right.
I'd rather pay them to print it and finish it up for me because they have a better idea of what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's close. It's a real interesting technology.
Oh, and the documentary focuses on the dude that created the 3D printed gun.
Oh yeah.
And how the various companies making printers reacted to that guy. And that guy seems, I don't know. He had his motivations.
My initial assumption to someone going, here, look, I designed a printable gun, is along the lines of, oh, you're probably a lunatic. But that's just me.
Yeah.
I admit, maybe I'm a little racist towards printable guns the same way I'm racist towards pickup trucks. But you know what? Maybe someday I'll make friends with someone who has a printable gun, and then it'll be okay for me to say more about them, because that's how that works. I should take a look at that documentary sometime. Sounds cool. I always assumed MakerBot would sell out, because they seemed like the kind of indie darling project where it's like, everyone into that stuff probably is at least talking about MakerBot, to the point where I'm like, there's no way MakerBot's going to remain this like autonomous entity for much longer. Like, they're too not. Popular.
Yeah. Yeah, well, right now they seem to be the most likely to be the name brand.
Yeah.
Like, home 3D printer. But, like, in the documentary, they were showing, like, some side-by-sides of, like, a chess piece made by different printers.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the look from the Vatigoo style thing. Like, I don't know enough about 3D printers to know the ins and outs of the two kind of primary methods.
Yeah, yeah.
The laser goo or the extruded.
I don't know much about the laser goo method at all, but I do know that Wulong T had shared on Facebook a Kickstarter for a laser goo printer that was, like, the size of a USB kind of hard drive. Like, it was made to be a thing on the side of your desk that you print, like, dice and chess pieces with.
Wow.
And that was kind of cool. I was almost interested in that. And I was like, no, wait, this is me doing that thing where I see a cool Kickstarter idea and I'm like, I'll throw money at it.
Well, the first time I ever heard of 3D printing was like a technology report on like CNET or something. When CNET had a TV show, it wasn't just a website. And it was a laser shooting into a vat of goo. And I was like, this is mind-bending. This is crazy. And that was late 90s, 99 or 98 or something like that. And that I saw that report. And yeah. So like that's what I thought all 3D printers were for a long time. It was a laser shooting goo.
I'd never heard of the goo method till I saw that Kickstarter for like the miniaturized version. And I wanna look up how that actually works sometime. The Kickstarter video was kind of painful, though. They had all these really obviously hired actors talking about all the obvious home uses any average Joe would have for a desktop 3D printer. And it was all about, I can print trinkets and dice! And that was about it. And I was like, you're not selling me on this whole idea here. Anyway. I think that's our What We Got This Week section. I'm realizing also, I don't think I ever mentioned on here about the gigantic action Scorponok figure I put a video up for about a week or so ago from this recording day. But that's a cool toy. I put up a video, I made a photo, well, it's screen caps from the video, and I wrote a few lines under a couple of each of the photos, and I made that the normal feedback thread in the feedback forum, because no one else owns that toy. And the main reason why I got a hold of it, and the crux of the whole basis of getting that review together with HLJ was basically that there was up until then there was literally no English language coverage of that figure whatsoever. It was a knowledge void. No one knew what it was at all. So that was the main impetus behind getting that piece put together. So if you ever wondered about how that big Sentinel 2 foot tall Scorponok turned out, now I've got at least my own viewpoint on it. So if you want to check it out, it's all up there in the feedback forum and the video feedback forum and blah blah blah. It's kind of cool. It's heavily rotocast in a way that feels very sensible for something that big. And it's still really heavy. And it ships like 3A's Metal Gear shipped, where it's in its box and then there is another cardboard box around that box which was its shipping container. And then Hobbylink Japan just put a label on that and sent it over. And I probably could fit inside it if I curl up right. So that's pretty nuts. Took some pictures of it too, I gotta put up still. I took some still shots with my camera. Seth, I forgot if we ever talked about the giant Scorponok. Did we?
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like when it was coming out. Yeah. I want to try to bring it to next TFCon Toronto so people can see it, what it looks like. It's something that all Transformers fans should get to see and poke, basically. I sent you a link with a couple of the screenshots I took. It's the kind of thing you really just need to see in person. You gotta be handed it, and you gotta hold it for a second and go like, oh, that's what this is. It's a very unique piece. And man, people are riled up about the idea of it not transforming in the comment section on the YouTube video. It's pretty great.
I think we talked about it when it was like, here's colored pictures.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I know we took... I'm almost positive we talked about it at some point.
Yeah, back when it was on, like, in at toy shows and stuff, I know we were talking about it then.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's an interesting piece. It's a shame that it costs so much. I'm really sure a big part of its cost is that I don't think Sentinel made very many.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a bummer, because if it was, like, a $200 figure, I would just about say it's really worth your, like, considering picking up, because it's so durably made. It's kind of like just a legitimately fun giant, like, rotocast robot. Like a durable and very posable Shogun Warriors kind of setup. It's a really fun figure to play around with other toys crawling all over it. So it's a bummer it ended up being so cost prohibitive. And it's not Sentinel's fault, but it's even more of a hard deal when there is another probably $400-some Scorponok coming out unofficially from Make Toys that is going to transform. Now, it certainly won't be as durable, but it's way more along the lines of the tastes of most people who are actually into this stuff. But, yeah, that happened. Anyway, yeah. I think we're all done here.
I think so, too.
Well, we could talk about Terminator Genisys. You know the new Terminator movie they're making?
Oh, I heard that there was going to be such a thing. I don't know anything about it.
Oh, the trailer's out. It came out a couple days ago. It's perfect. Plays right into my overall theory, which is how I enjoy Terminator movies. Which is that the actual story of Terminator is the slow downfall of Skynet, the most inept and demigod-like supervillain in cinematic history. Like, here's how...
I haven't seen Terminator 3 or the Christian Bale one, so...
This all came about because I found myself actually enjoying Terminator 3 back when it came out. I still, to this day, actually legitimately enjoy that movie. And it's because of... Like, this is what... the first two Terminator movies are really good movies, but that's just a happenstance. They're part of the bigger picture, which is that here's how it works. This is how I see it, and this is why they should just give me the Terminator franchise. Every Terminator movie takes place one day after the previous Terminator movie in the prime timeline of Skynet. So Skynet sends a Terminator back in time, and immediately, due to the temporal, ripple whiplash effect, damages the timeline and makes itself more deranged and stupid, because it's interfered with its own creation. So the next day it says, I better send another Terminator back, but I'll do it differently this time. Dements itself more. Next day, I'm going to send a liquid metal one back in time this time. It's going to go great. Now it's legitimately, brain damage. It's like, all right,
the liquid metal one was the second one.
I'm sure, apparently as of Genisys now, also Sarah Connor Chronicles, I'm sure there was another one somewhere in there. I don't know.
Okay.
At some point, so the next day it's like, you know what that liquid metal one needed to be? It needed to be a girl. And I've somehow deduced how to give it guns, because why not? So it sends the Terminatrix back in time. By movie 4, it now has, there's a two-way whiplash effect going forward and backwards in time from the prime moment, the keystone moment of the Skynet prime timeline. That's why there are all those rubber Arnold Schwarzenegger CG things in Terminator 4, the one with Christian Bale. Those are from the whiplash effect going in the previous direction, not just the forward direction. Time travel makes sense to me, so... The Terminator franchise makes sense to me because I look at it from the correct perspective. This is the story of the sad, deranged AI called Skynet with the powers of a demigod, but the hubris of a nincompoop and the personal scope of the most tunnel-visioned idiot in the world. And that's why I love the Terminator franchise. It's all about Skynet. But yeah, Seth, they're making another Terminator movie. And Arnold Schwarzenegger's in it. And he looks really old now.
Really in it, or just sort of in it?
He's in it, and CG rubber face Arnold Schwarzenegger is also in it. The one that's meant to look like him in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And so 2014 Arnold Schwarzenegger fights 80s CG rubber Arnold Schwarzenegger at some point. It looks pretty great.
Now, Is 2014 Arnold Schwarzenegger a Terminator?
Yes.
Okay. This would have been awesome if 2014 Arnold Schwarzenegger is a guy, and he's the guy that Skynet based the Terminators on. That would have been rad.
So there's a deleted scene from Terminator 3 where the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminator of Terminator 3 and all the characters encounter the man that the Arnold Schwarzenegger Terminators were all based on.
Oh.
And it's Arnold Schwarzenegger as a corn farmer with his voice overdubbed by someone doing a hick accent.
Okay, I gotta see that clip because now I just want to hear the overdubbed hick accent at least coming from Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Maybe it wasn't a full-on hick, but I know they dubbed over his voice with someone who's absolutely not Austrian whatsoever.
Or just made him sound like a farmer from, like, the Midwest United States.
Yeah, I can't remember the character's name either, and I think it was...
Does he say, "How y'all doing?" or...
something like that. Like, it is a cut scene, which really bums me out, because I Terminator 3 is a ridiculous movie. It's the one that turns the Terminator franchise into, like, near-parodical, hilarious sci-fi. And them cutting that scene out was, like, the last vestige of them trying to take themselves seriously. And I feel like they should have just left it in. Because that's what Terminator really is. The first two movies, they're fine. But they're part of a greater picture, which is very different from the tone of the first two movies. And it's what I like about Terminator now. Like, Terminator 4 has big, dumb, giant robots that shoot small motorcycle robots out of their feet.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what Skynet has become. It's a cartoon supervillain. That's how Terminator works. But yeah, there's some other plot. The trailer for Genesis is quite interesting, because it looks like they're really going to lean into time travel in a way that I'm really, really excited about, because I love when time travel is treated like that. I'll tell you about it after we're done on here.
Okay. Because
we're done now, so take it easy, everyone. We'll be back next week with some more Transformers and other talk, and stay safe.
They must succeed, or we are all in jeopardy. The world will suffer. Heaven knows.
You're dead. It's just a video.